Well, I'm excited about starting part number five of this series with you today. Maybe you have a family member or a friend that kind of moves at their own speed, kind of their own pace, regardless of whatever circumstances might be going on, and you might know what I mean. If we're running late, maybe you have a friend or family member that's like, doesn't really matter. Or maybe if you are going to miss a flight, they might be like, oh, it's going to work out. It's going to be okay. If the movie's about to start, it's like, oh, well, we're just missing the previews. I'm one of those guys that loves the previews. if things are just, I just find myself kind of always being in a hurry, always wanting to be on time. And for me, on time is about 10 to 20 minutes early. that's just me. And so I have discovered about myself that I have very little patience when it comes to not being on time for me. And so eventually, whatever patience I do have, whatever patience I can muster up, it eventually runs out. And I try really hard. I try to work hard at patience. I mean, I remind myself that love is patient, love is kind, but eventually my patience is not very loving and I'm not very kind. It runs out, and sometimes I kind of power up to force things to happen and make things happen. And I do my best to hold back my temper, but eventually, for me, it breaks free. I don't know if you're like me or not. Sometimes we just kind of snap and we say things or we do things. We just kind of, we kind of take it up to a point. I was thinking about this morning. So you may be one of those people that's very detail oriented and you want everyone around you to do things in a very detailed way, the way you want them done. There's people like me who come along and they just want them done really fast and quickly, efficiently, but really fast. Maybe not as detailed, right? And then you have other people who are like, listen, all those details, they are no fun at all. Let's just kind of figure this out as we go. We'll kind of understand what to do next as we go. That sounds like a lot more fun. And then you have the people that are like, listen, I'm just not going to do it at all anyway. It's a lot easier to not do that. I'm just not going to do that. And so whatever personality type or temperament that you might have, we all have those moments where we just kind of snap. We just kind of say, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it my way. And it might take longer for some than others to get to that point, but eventually, whatever virtue we are trying to force and hold on to and trying to make happen, eventually we get tired and eventually we get hungry or we get sad or we get emotional or we get busy or we get stressed. And as a result, something triggers us and boom, we lose it in some way. Some way. Maybe it's an outburst. Or maybe it's all held in here and it's the things we're saying about that person or those people, and it's all happening right here. But we think to ourselves, I can't believe I got to that point again. I can't believe I thought those things again. I can't believe I said those things again. I can't believe I did those things again, because after all, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to do things differently. Why do I keep doing it like that? And it's just another long list of examples of us trying to be good, right, Braxton? Trying to be better, trying to earn something. Trying to be more patient, trying to be more kind, trying to be more caring, trying to be more loving, trying to be more self-controlled. And we can be a little successful at that for a period of time, but eventually, after we've been taken to the limit one too many times, eventually we give them that look or we open our mouths and we say something, or we give them the silent treatment, eventually we end up doing the opposite of whatever that virtue is that we were trying so hard to do. And I've got to be honest, this is not a 21st century problem. In fact, Paul, in this letter that we've been studying, the letter to the Ephesians, Paul, in talking to these Gentile Asian Christ followers, Paul brings this up. And so I want to read to you this verse right here, a couple of verses, Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Paul says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children." Remember in week number one, I think it was, maybe week number two, we talked about, P.S., you get adopted. You get adopted. You have been adopted. If you've submitted your life to Jesus, you have been adopted into his family. So we're now to imitate our father, our dad, like father, like son, like father, like child. Verse 2. "Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." We talked about this last Sunday. See, I know this verse, and I feel like I understand this verse, but I still blow it. So we're going to continue working our way through this next part, this next section of Paul's letter to these Christ followers. And we talked about last week, we used this phrase, I've already said it this morning, Nathan's going to have it on the screen for us, like father, like son, like father, like son. You've been adopted into God's family, and now as you're adopted into his family, and this even happens in cases of adoptions, children begin acting like their parents. In some cases, they even begin looking like their parents. It's just an amazing thing. It just kind of happens, and Paul is saying, yes, here, like father, like your father, you've been adopted in, now like father, like son, like father, like child. Last Sunday, we listed an enormous, what I felt like for me, was an enormous list of things that Paul told us we need to do, all right? So here's some of this stuff, Braxton, some of these things that we have to do, and I'm going to read through these as Nathan puts them on the screen. We need to speak only the truth. We need to handle our anger appropriately, and in that, we do not hold grudges. We need to work hard, don't steal. In fact, don't steal in any way. So like on a time clock, on a timesheet, don't steal in any way. Share with those who are less fortunate. Use language that builds others up. Remove all bitterness, all anger. Avoid shouting, avoid slander, be humble and gentle, patient and loving. And as I look at that list, I realize this, that is a crushing list. I fail at that list all the time. And what's more, that is not even everything. I mean, that's just some of the list. That's not everything that's listed in the New Covenant Scriptures that tells us how to walk this walk that we're called to walk. There is much, much more involved in walking like Christ. So much more. So if you're like me and you look at that list and you suddenly realize, this list is impossible for me to do. It's impossible for me to live. You see, if the Jewish people could not live the law the way God desired them to live the law, then there is certainly no way that I'm going to be able to walk this list out in my life, because this, none of this, is natural to me. I mean, like I've already said, I can force some of it for a period of time. I can do little bits of this, but I can't do it for any length of time. There's no way. I can't do this on my own, and here's the main reason, because it is not natural to me. My natural self leads me to drift away from this and toward my sin-filled nature. So, here's the question that Nathan's going to put on the screen. How can we meet these impossible demands? How can we meet these demands? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, in order for us to move forward, we're going to have to first go back. We have to go back to weeks number 1, week 2, and week 3 of this series. On the screen, the secret to this Christian life is through the power that works within us. So let's visit a verse we've already used. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him, this is Paul writing all these Ephesians verses. Now to him who is able, him, God, who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power, there it is, the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The secret power, this is on the screen, the secret power for every Christ follower is his rest in Christ. That's the secret power. The secret for us to walk this list that Paul gives us, the secret to live this new life comes from our very first posture that we talked about in week 1, 2, and 3 as we begin sitting with Christ. So that moment that we sit down with Christ, that moment that we fall into his grace, God's Spirit takes us and seats us with Jesus, unites us with Jesus. That's how this all begins. So we begin by sitting in Christ, and something about that sitting is going to lead us, compel us to walk a certain way as we follow Jesus, but we can't walk this certain way, and here's where we are today, unless we keep sitting with Jesus. We begin by sitting, and in order to walk, we have to keep sitting. All who sit in Christ, all who rest in Christ, can then get up and begin to walk. Because something, and this is an important concept for me, something spontaneously flows from Christ to us, which allows us to walk more and more and more like Jesus. It all flows from sitting with Christ every single day. And it's the divine order. We talked about that last week too. It's the divine order. Our walking more and more like Jesus happens as an overflow. It just happens. And that walk that's more and more like Jesus, it just happens as we purposefully sit with Christ. And I love that word, purposefully sit with Christ. I want to make sure you understand, as we're using this phrase walking, Paul is using that as a metaphor. So every time you hear us say walking, Paul is using that to describe our behavior, our actions, our decisions, our words. And as our hearts purposefully sit with Jesus in heaven, then we are more like Jesus on earth. As we purposefully sit with him in heaven, we're more like Jesus on earth. And so we have to keep sitting with Jesus. Now, I want to draw a theological explanation here. Once we are seated with Christ, once we have fallen into the grace of Jesus and his Spirit seats us with Christ, theologically, we are never apart from Christ. that is confirmed in Scripture, that is the truth. We are never apart from Christ. And so today, as I refer to sitting with Jesus, I want you to understand theologically, if you're following Jesus, you are, and you will never be unseated. But as humans, our hearts can be as if we're not sitting with Jesus. I hope that makes sense, because I don't want to confuse you. Once we are seated in Christ, united with Christ, we are never ununited. But as humans, this side of heaven, our hearts can operate day to day as if we're not seated with Jesus. And that's what I'm referring to right now. If we are going to walk his walk on this earth, our hearts must remain in a condition of being seated with Christ every single day, moment by moment. Keep sitting with Jesus on purpose. And this will be on the screen. While sitting, our earthly walk looks more and more like the walk of Christ, because, like Father, like Son. At leaving our hearts there, seated with Christ, we are going to be bad at walking, because we can't miss this divine order. If we try to walk during the day and walk out this list that Paul gave us, if we're trying to do that without first making sure our hearts are seated with Christ, then that list that Paul gave us is impossible. We can't do it. None of us can. I cannot do it. You cannot do it. We can't do it long. We can't do it long. So it's all about sitting. It's all about resting. I find it interesting that he uses that metaphor here. He doesn't use here the metaphor of a runner. He uses that in other places, but he doesn't use it here. In this moment, the metaphor is sitting. It is resting. And is to be any walking at all in our behavior more and more like Jesus, we must sit with him. Think of it like this. This is a good image. I like this metaphor. Think of it as if a man in a motorized wheelchair, okay? A man in a motorized wheelchair. We have a gentleman in our Stuttgart church, motorized wheelchair. He has no legs from the knee down, motorized wheelchair. If he is to move, it's going to be in that chair. And so in that chair, he moves, but yet he's not moving. It's not his power that's moving him. He moves, but not from his own power. And in the same way, in our walking more and more like Jesus, we are going to make progress. We will have movement in our conduct, in our behavior, in our attitudes, in our responses, in our reactions, and they will be more and more and more like Jesus. We will have movement, but that behavior is fully dependent, that movement is fully dependent upon another form of power, not mine. Not mine. It's his power. You see, we don't focus on walking. Our focus is not the behavior. Our focus is not our response and not our reaction. Our focus is on sitting with Jesus. And then that walk becomes more and more intuitive as we are being propelled, carried, controlled by Jesus. Me trying to force it, me trying to force that list that Paul gave us, that's just going to make me frustrated because I'm going to fail. But if I can focus on sitting with Jesus, my heart sitting with Jesus every single day, then all of that walking, all of that list, all of that Christ-like living, all those decisions and behaviors, it's not going to be based upon my effort and what I can do and what I can force. It's now based, because I've been with Jesus, something happens. It's his power that begins working inside of me. So we have to understand that list is impossible for us, but it's not impossible for him. And the secret to us being able to walk more and more like Jesus, that secret strength is being united with him, and it is his power. And that's what Paul prays. Let's look back at one of those prayers. Paul prays in chapter 3, verse 17, that the Messiah, Jesus, may dwell in your heart, speaking to people who are believers, that he may dwell in your hearts through faith. Jesus dwelling in our hearts. There's something powerful about admitting that I require a power outside of me to move inside of me, to make changes inside of me, which will then flow outside of me, so that I can do the work that God has created me to do and designed me to do, and that work that he has for me to do on this earth. Again, for those united in Christ, here's what Paul says. We're reviewing some things we've already taught. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. And it can only happen when a power outside of me moves inside of me to make the changes inside of me that are then going to flow out of me and into my walk and into the lives around me. In another one of Paul's letters, the letter to the Philippians, he says this, something very similar, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, have you always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. He then says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. To will, to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It's the very same concept that Paul is trying to teach to the Ephesians. And I love this phrase that he says, work out your salvation. And for us today, we could say, walk out your salvation. Walk out your salvation. And we can only do that if we go to that next verse. He said, for it is God who works in you. It is God that's doing the work in you that allows you to walk out your salvation. Wow. Think about it. At the moment that you surrender, the moment you fall by faith into the grace of Jesus, that moment you surrender and you submit your life to his care and his control, that moment where you declare to God, I am no longer in charge. Jesus, you are in charge. You are now the boss of my life. And at that moment, this will be on the screen, everything that he is working in you begins to be walked out by you. And this is an amazing concept. It is God working in while we work out. And here's what that means. This is a true statement. Until we allow God to work in us And it's going to happen right here with our hearts seated with Christ. Until we allow God to work in us, it is absolutely useless for us to try to work out. In fact, it's utter ridiculousness. It's ridiculous for us to try to begin working out if He is not first working in. This might perhaps bring incredible clarity to your walk on this earth. I feel like we could all admit today that we know we should be kind and we know we should be gentle. And perhaps we try to be kind and we try to be gentle because we know that's how we should be. We're supposed to be that. In fact, Jesus was that. And I know that being kind and being gentle, I know that is living like Jesus. It's, for instance, to be kind and gentle without allowing God to work in us the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, then eventually, and usually pretty quickly, we fail. When we try to be humble without God's Spirit working in us the humility of Christ, when we try to be merciful without first allowing God to work the mercy of Christ into our life, when we try to be pure in heart without first allowing God's Spirit to work in us the purity of Christ, when we try to show love and we find that we're running out of love, we, in all of these things, are going to fail because we're relying on our own power, our own talent, our own ability, our own temperament, our own personality. This is so important to understand. These traits of Christ, they are not magically dumped into our lives the moment we submit to Jesus. There is not a giant zip file that contains love and grace and mercy and humility and meekness and gentleness in a giant zip file that God downloads into your life immediately upon you submitting to Him. It's not like this treasure box and He takes a big scoop of everything that's His and drops it into your life the moment you submit to Him. It starts when we submit to Him as our boss. But the process of sanctification becoming, that means becoming more and more like Jesus, that process is not quick. Remember Paul's prayer? In Ephesians 3, verse 16, he said, I pray that He may grant you according to the riches of His glory. In other words, we talk about this in the book. According to the amount of glory that He has, according to the amount of strength that He has. He says, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through His Spirit. Please understand this. God doesn't just have a lot of that. Those riches, those virtues, He doesn't just have a lot of it. He has all of it. He's not just rich with those virtues. He is the source of those virtues. Look at your screen. From His wealth, it goes from outside of you to in you until finally, it is overflowing out of you to the world around you. He's not just rich with it. He's the source. He doesn't have just some of it. He has all of it. And this concept of his virtues moving from outside of you to in you and then to overflowing out of you, that changed the world once. And it's exactly what our world needs right now. Our world needs Christ followers to live like the one that they're following. But it only happens when we allow his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his meekness, his gentleness, his humbleness, his faithfulness, his self-control to be worked in us and then through us. And Paul says that same thing over and over and over again throughout this letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians 3:19. And Paul is praying, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled, coming from outside of you to inside of you, to the point where you are filled with all the fullness of God. And once that happens, as that happens, because it's not an event, it's a process. As that happens, it begins overflowing out of your life and to the world around you. I lack so many things on that list. I'm not patient. I'm not humble. I'm not overly kind. I can go on and on and on. But I want you to know this. Jesus is absolutely perfect in all of that. All of those traits. Jesus is absolutely perfect in those traits. And God's Spirit, as my heart is sitting with Jesus, God's Spirit will recreate those traits of Jesus in our lives if we will simply sit with Jesus, our hearts with him, purposefully every single day. But the more we get up on our own and we try to live that and we try, the more frustrated we're going to become, because that Christian walk will never last. That Christian walk is frustrating. And it's frustrating because Nathan's going to put this on the screen. All that God demands from us, Jesus himself is the fulfillment of everything he demands from us. It is all found in him. The best that I can do is I can give you a little dose of love with a little L. I can give you a smidge of grace with a little G. I can give you a dab of holiness with a little H, because it's not going to be long before I become unholy with a capital U. But as a follower of Jesus, being united with Christ, now I have access to all of his traits. Nathan has this on the screen here. I can call upon Christ's love with a capital L. I can call upon Christ's grace with a capital G. I can call upon his holiness with a capital H. And as I encounter a difficult situation or a tough person, a difficult person, I can call upon all of those things that Jesus has perfectly. It's one of the reasons why Cole and I often say around here, that Jesus makes not only life better, but it makes us better at life. So, do you want to walk his love and walk more and more of his grace and more of his holiness? If we do, then it must be his. And it only comes from him. And when it is his and it does come from him, then somehow, quite unconsciously, his behavior begins to flow from him to you and then through you to the world around you. And it happens somehow in an unaccountable way because you have been focusing on sitting with him. You have been focusing on him and his virtues when in your life, in some kind of spontaneous way, without great, enormous effort, all from sitting. Nathan put this on the screen here: not trying, but trusting. Not our strength, but his. And that is overflow. That is his life flowing through us and into the world around us. And it is that overflow that reveals we actually are in Christ, united with Christ. And my friends, that is not the norm. There are far, far too many people who are walking around and acting like Christians. I mean, we become, especially in America, we become pretty good at forcing that spiritual life, at talking that spiritual language. Do you realize that's potentially the number one turnoff and the number one criticism that other people hold against Christians and against Jesus, against his church? It's that hypocrisy, because when we find that in our own lives, push comes to shove, things usually go sideways. When you're hurt, when you're late, when you're ignored, when you've been taken advantage of, you and I, we feel justified in our reactions. And that's when we realize we're doing this at this moment ourselves. And we've blown it. And in that moment, we become anything except a walking example of the love and the grace. And so as best as I can this morning describe what our walking more and more like Jesus is like, perhaps it is not like speaking a foreign language. Have you tried to learn a foreign language? No habla español. I got to think about it. I got to force every single word. Un poco. There's a word. But I got to think about it. And I got to force it. And this Christian walk is not like that. Because what happens as my heart is sitting with Jesus on purpose all day long, I'm not having to force it. So now living this life that is not natural to me, which is natural to Jesus, I don't have to force each word and each syllable and each phrase. But now for those who are united with Jesus and purposefully sitting with him throughout the day, it's no longer hard work because we're relying upon his spirit. And he's doing the work inside, not us. And he begins to speak his language, which is natural to him, that language of love, and we begin to walk that language of love. We begin to talk and speak and walk that language of grace. And that's not hard work because it's his language and he's the one doing the speaking from within. Paul spends most of chapters 1, 2, and 3 of this letter giving us really good doctrine. We need it. That's why we talked about it in the first 3 weeks. About us being united with Christ. Great doctrine that we need to understand. And as we look at Jesus in the Gospels, at who this Christ is, we discover how good Jesus really is, how loving and grace-filled and how gentle and how kind and how humble. We learn all of these things by looking in the Gospels. We learn this about Jesus. And here's what we must understand. If you are united with Christ, as good as Jesus is in the Gospels, that's how good he is in you right now. Because it's the same Jesus. And far too many of us, we have good doctrine, but we live lives that are contrary to it. Far too many Christians know about doctrine and theology and the very things that we studied in weeks 1, 2, and 3 and chapters 1, 2, and 3 in Ephesians, but they don't walk the walk that is described in chapters 4, 5, and 6. In fact, it could be, I don't know if it is or not, but it might be better to say this. It's better to have no doctrine at all than it is to live a life contrary to it. Does God demand something from his children? Yes, he does. Absolutely, he does. Absolutely. And are we to walk, to live differently once we've been united with Jesus? Are we to live differently than we did before? Certainly, there's no question about that. But don't forget the divine order. Daily, sit your heart with Jesus on purpose so that you have the means, the ability, the power to live that walk, to walk that walk. That's the reason that we've been asking you over and over, trying not to pressure you, because that won't do, that won't be helpful. But we've been reminding you over and over, please, please, please dig into the book, P.S. You Get Adopted. It's free to you. If you need a printed copy, if you'll just pay for what that actually costs, we'll get you a 3-ring binder and we will fill it with that book. I've just finished part 2. It's uploaded. The entire book is ready. And it's not because it's written so great, because, you know, if you've read any of it, you know. It's not. But we slow your life down and we focus on just a paragraph a day. Sometimes just one verse, but most often several verses, just a paragraph a day, trying to understand what does this mean for me today. So may we stop trying to walk this walk on our own, because we don't have to do that. God doesn't even expect you to do that. And I think the truth is, he doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to sit in the grace of Jesus, that very same grace that saved you, and allow his working on the inside to begin to overflow out of your life. And it's exactly what the world around us needs from you. Let's pray. God, I need your gentleness more and more. Jesus, I need your kindness. I need your compassion. I need your self-control. I need your strength. And so I'm asking you, would you help me to have my heart sit with you every day so that you can be at home in my heart and overflow from my life into this hurting world? And Jesus, that's the only way that I can do it. I'm asking you, will you make that happen in my life and in the life of my friends today? Make it so, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray these things. Amen.